All right, we'll turn your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 25. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I forgot again. Miss Shimmons has her class tonight. If you want some real edification, you may want to make your way back there. All right, Proverbs chapter 25. This will be a simple message because I'm a simple guy. Just kind of neat how you run across verses sometimes and you read that and you're just like, what does that mean? You know, and then you read it a few more times and it just starts, something happens in your life where you come to church and pastor preaches about it. Ah, okay, that's what that means. You know, or just something in life, an occurrence in life happens and just kind of brings some light on a verse. But we're going to be going through something here tonight. It's just, I don't know, I found it interesting. You may not, but I thought it was. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening, and I just pray that you'd bless our time around your word tonight. I just thank you for the way your word is written, and Lord, how we can constantly read it and constantly glean from it and constantly learn. It's just a living book. And I thank you that we have an opportunity to have a copy of it in this country. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time around it tonight. In your precious name, amen. All right. First thing, we're going to look at some apples tonight. All right? You're like, well, that'll be interesting. First of all, let's look at some interesting facts about apples. All right? How many varieties of apples do you think there are in the world? Good guess. Over 7,500 varieties of apples. I would have guessed like 10. Apples in the Bible are mentioned 8 times. Actually, 11 times. 11 times. Other fruits in the Bible, oranges, 0. Grapes, 8. Figs, the big winner, 41 times. Pineapple, 0. Bananas, 0. Pomegranates, 10. Blueberries, 0. And raspberries, 0. So, I don't know, just some facts, okay? How are apples beneficial, okay? Eating apples, the benefits of apples. The phytonutrients in apples can help you regulate blood sugar. Recent research has shown that apple polyphenols can help prevent spikes in blood sugar through a variety of mechanisms. Health benefits are particularly important in prevention of heart disease through health regulation of blood fat levels. Researchers have recently compared the intake of whole apples to the intake of applesauce and apple juice. These guys have, don't you have better things to do? And it's like, come on, really? Apples, applesauce. What'd you think? It had to be a grant. It had to be. Only to discover that people report less hunger and better, whatever that word is, after eating whole apples than they eating applesauce or drinking. Okay, now this, I found this kind of interesting. When healthy adults consumed one medium-sized apple, when healthy adults consumed one medium-sized apple approximately 15 minutes before a meal, their caloric intake at that meal decreased by an average of 15%. Since meals in this study averaged 1,240 calories, a reduction of 15% meant a reduction of 186 calories, or about 60 more calories than contained in the medium apple. There you go. Diet information. Let's see. We'll make this quick. Apples belong to the rose family of plants and are joined in that family by a wide range of very popular foods, including apricots, plums, cherries, peaches, pears, raspberries, and almonds. How many knew that? Antioxidant benefits. Since most of the polyphenols in apples function as antioxidants, it is not surprising to see many health benefits studied focusing on the antioxidant benefits from the apple. Basically, it's good for your heart. There we go. Total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol both decreased through regular intake of apples. Although some preliminary results show apple benefits for several different cancer types, especially colon cancer and breast cancer, it's the area of lung cancer benefits that stand out in the apple research. There are numerous studies involving vegetable fruit intake and the risk of lung cancer. That's interesting. So, interesting little tidbits about an apple, all right? Now what we'll do tonight is we're going to look through the Bible and see all the different references to apples and see how it benefits us as Christians, okay? I went through all the scriptures and divided it in how it benefits us as an individual, as it benefits us as a church, and as it benefits should benefit us as a nation, okay? So let's take a look at this. So this first verse, Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. All right, I'm going to do a little test here. This won't take long at all. If I don't knock anything over. All right. Has everybody copied this? All right. I'm going to make sure. All right. We're going to do a test real quick.
This is only a test.
Okay. Everybody close your eyes. No peeking. Jeff. Okay, open your eyes. What's the first thing you see? A black dot. An apple, yeah, right? A very aged apple, right? Okay. Now, there's a reason behind this, okay? You read this and it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I'm going to give you an example. An apple of gold is precious. It's made of gold. You know, most value, it's valuable. It's, you know, my father-in-law, believe this or not, he has four TVs in about a 600 square foot area, and they're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're all on Fox News. Right? Yeah, praise God. You know, anyways. You know, on there, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's always on there, you need to invest in gold. You need to buy gold. You know, just everybody's telling you to buy gold. It's a long-term investment. It's beneficial in the long term. So I think of that benefit, you know, the gold, the benefit of investing in it. It helps you long term. But individually, an apple of gold, a fitly spoken word, a fitly spoken word is like apples of gold. It's individually, it's just what somebody needs to hear. It's saying the right thing at the right time. My a fitly spoken, fitly mean applicable. It's appropriate for the time. And you know, about 20 so years ago, my brother's wife had their second child, and you know, they had, it had been 6 days since the child was born, and the mother and child, his wife went in to take a nap with the baby. And his wife never woke up. She died. She was 26 years old. They never found a reason, never found anything. They did a full autopsy and everything, never found anything. And you know, I found out. I lived up here in the cities, and that night I drove. As soon as I found out, I got in the car and went. I had to go be with my brother. Walked in the house, gave him a hug. I am praying for you. You know, it's the same. You know, and the going down there to visit the She's heard this before. I don't want to hear him. The going there to visit somebody, that's expected. The hug, the handshake, it's expected. That's your picture of sober. It's valuable. It's got some value to it. It's good. But I asked him afterwards, I asked him, I said, this is like a year or so later, I said, what is it on that night that you wanted to hear? What is it you wanted somebody to say to you at that night? And you have to know my brother to understand this. He says, I wish somebody would have come in and said, hey, why don't we get away and go cast a few? Let's go fishing. That's what he wanted to hear. That would have been his apple of gold. It would have stuck out like that black dot on that whiteboard. You know, it's just something that's said right at the right time. For a church, individually, it's just what somebody needs to hear at the right time. And when you're counseling with somebody, just like Mark and Jessica were talking tonight, talking with his dad, I'm sure you were kind of nervous, you know, a little nervous. And you pray, though, and you say, just give me the words to say. I can't imagine the things that a pastor faces on a regular basis. I'm constantly praying for wisdom, I'm sure, to counsel people, and everything that comes at him, you know, he's got to have the right words to say or to comfort somebody or give somebody some encouragement. Then as a church, when we're witnessing and street preaching, when we're out there on the streets, you know, we just had, you know, the big thing with the Supreme Court and all, passing this gay rights thing. And you know, the first thing your flesh, I mean, my flesh was the same way. I just wanted to go out and scream on a corner, you know, you bunch of dirtbags, you know, you bunch of homosexuals, you bunch of queer, you know, that's your flesh. But what is it they need to hear? They need to hear that there's hope. There's a Savior that died for them just as He died for you and I. Why is it we put their sin up here and our sin down here? Why is it the Savior that we have isn't good enough for them? You know, I'm the same way. It's my flesh. It gets in the way sometimes, and I, you know, put, oh, that they're this, you know, and I didn't do that, you know. You know, but we're witnessing. We need to pray for wisdom when we're out witnessing and street preaching. We can't just say what's on our mind, because a lot of times that's not a good thing. That's not what somebody needs to hear. Jeff, he's always quoting Scripture. You can't go wrong with Scripture. Brother Steve's quoting Scripture, giving the Word of God out there. That Word of God does not return void. They have to answer for that one day. Well, I never heard. Well, you heard it walking by this guy. You couldn't help but not hear it. Why did you get so mad? You know, when pastor's preaching, he prays, that he'll have the right sermon for the people that are going to be there on Sunday or Wednesday or Sunday school, whatever. Sunday school, you get people that teach Sunday school. We just can't go through a lesson and just say, oh, it's a lesson on Noah. I can get through that, no problem. I know that story backwards and forwards. Maybe there's something in that story that may hit you just the right way, and that's what those kids need. Wow, I never seen that before. And make the Bible interesting to them. Boy, what a valuable thing that would be. So as a church, we need to think of what somebody needs to hear. You know, we all participate in the door knocking and the witnessing and the street preaching and so forth. And we need to know, we need to have God's wisdom on these things. We need to let His Spirit speak through us. As a nation, the politicians always tell you what you want to hear. But they never follow through on it. They never do what you want. As a nation, I think more or less it's just a matter of getting back to God. And that's going to take a miracle within itself. I mean, that's just going to be unbelievable. If that happens, it's just going to be, that's like the ninth wonder of the world. Ninth, tenth, 11th, and 12th wonder of the world. But they need to hear what's being said from the Christians. They hear it all the time from the homosexual crowd. They hear it all the time from the the black crowd and the marches on Washington and all this, but we never hear of Christians marching on. They need to hear it. No matter how much they despise the Bible and despise God, and you know, you think of the homosexual crowd where they take a symbol that of God, a rainbow, and a sin that basically spits in his face, and then they take the call word of the devil, pride. It's doomed to destruction. I mean, it's all it is. It's a movement that's doomed to destruction. They're daring God. They're saying, God, bring it on. You don't want God to bring it on. He's just sitting up there, your day is coming. This nation needs to hear the truth, though. They need to hear the truth until we're brought out of here. No matter how much they spit in the face of God Almighty and how much it irritates us, this nation needs to hear the Word. They need to hear the apples of gold, which is only found in the Word of God. So let's... Apples of gold, fitly spoken words. They need to hear things not from our minds, not from what we think is right. They need to hear it from our heart. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear the truth. All right? Let's go on and let's go pick the next apple here. Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17, starting in verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about. The apple of the eye. You always hear that phrase. That was a popular song back in the 70s. I'm not going to name the group. You don't need to know the group. But it was called "The Apple." You are the apple of my eye. That, and you always wonder, you always hear these phrases, and you wonder, where do these phrases come from? That phrase came from the Word of God. It came from the Word of God. You'll see it many times here tonight. It's the apple of thine eye, the apple of my eye. It's in the Word of God. And it means to cherish. It's something that you cherish above everything else. It's something you look at and say, that's special to me. That's what I focus on. They're special to me. That's special to me. That's the apple of my eye. And I look at this as an individual, and to think that as a child of God, I'm the apple of his eye. He looks at me and he says, that's my child. And for me to think about that just gives me chills. I'm God's child. Thinking of where I used to be before I got saved, and then he still saved me. That's why that verse, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Think about that. While we were yet sinners, how vile, how nasty, how vulgar you might have been, God died on the cross for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a blessing that verse is. And you sit and you think about that, meditate on that, and you just realize, I'm the apple of his eye. What a blessing. I'm a child of God. Right there, as an individual, I look at that too in verse 8, and it says, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. I have shelter. I have a place to run to. And it's not temporary. The earth, the world has things to offer that are temporary. People get done with a rough day at work and run to the bar. People run home to do a line of coke, or do some crack, or do something to just get them away for a while. That's their wing. It's a broken wing. It's done. It's gone. The next day they got to go back and they have no more shelter. I can take my shelter with me. I can bring it with me wherever I go. I can be under his wings. When I get in trouble is when I go out under from under his wing and say, hey, look what I can do. slam, you know, it doesn't. But I know I get under his wings and I know I'm safe. Those of you who've been out fishing, I know Brother Jeff, Frank's been out. You go out fishing once in a while, Nate. You get out there and you see in the spring, you see ducks or loons are good for this. You see loons, all the babies get on the back of the mom. And they start, you know, going across the middle of the bay or whatever. And they know if they want to get to the other side, they got to be with mom. They have no other way to get there. If they're going by themselves, you know, a little duckling or little, I don't know, what do they call them, loonling? Little lunar, you know, whatever. But he's swimming across the water and here comes a big pike. You know, that's it for that one. Seen it happen. The little ones get away from mom and big fish, he's hungry. He doesn't care what it is. Spit out the feathers. All right? But they get on the mom's back. They have protection. They're safe. The mom's going to do. You get close to a loon with her babies, you're in for a fight. Or a goose. My lands. They'll go all out to get you away from their kids. You stay away from my kid. They get on their mom's back because they know there's no other way they're going to make it to the other side. That's why we trust Christ. There's no other way we can make it to the other side without Christ. Otherwise, we're just going to get eaten up. This is going to devour us. We're safe. We can hide under his wing and be safe. I can trust him to get me where I need to go. Those little loons can get on the back of their mom and they know mom's going to take them where they need to go. He'd take them where the food is, take them where the nest is. She's going to get them where they need to go. As an individual, we have that. God will take us under his wings and protect us. He knows if you've had a bad day. And he's just waiting for you to just kind of climb under that wing and just kind of nestle up and cuddle in there and say, I like this. This is a lot better than anything else. This is a lot better than a hangover. Yeah, right? Amen. As a church, we have reassurance for a hurting heart. Every Sunday, a pastor gets up here and reassures us of the Savior that we have. You may have had a hard week, but this is the place to be. You may have had people stab you in the back and despise you for being a Christian or laugh at you and make comments about you, or you just may have had a bad day at work. This is where you need to be. And pastor stands up here and tells you, hey, we have a Savior that wants you to come to Him. You can come to Him for shelter. You can come to Him for safety. He has a Bible here that can guide you and where you need to go. And He tells us, the great Savior, we have reassurance for a hurting heart. We have safety. We have trust. And He'll get us where we need to go. He'll guide us. Too many times we trust in ourselves and get in trouble. But God, and He just stands off in the corner and says, I'm here when you need me. You know, He's not going to force Himself on you. And then when we realize, He lets us get to the end of our own rope. Otherwise, we'd never learn. And then we crawl back to Him on our hands and knees and crawl back under the wing again and nestle in and say, I messed up. Can I stay here for a while? It's a blessing. What a Savior we have. As a nation, as I said before, we're so far gone. We're so far gone. How blown away would the... what's the place in New York? UN. How blown away would the UN be if this would really be something, if the President of the United States got up and said, you know what? Our country, the United States, is going to go back to the Bible. We're going to go back to serving God and trusting Him and doing what He wants us to do. Oh, they'd be bombing us the next day. They'd kick us out of the UN. Nowadays they would. Everybody, we'd be the scourge of everywhere. But that's where we need to go. That's the only place. The it says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Doesn't say anything about it. We don't. And it says in Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. That's what got us here. It says confidence in man. It's not going to be the election that saves this country. It's going to be the Word of God. It's going to be crawling back to God on our hands and knees, begging for forgiveness and crawling back under the wing and say, can you just help us get this right? We're really messed up. We're really in a bad fix here. The only way is through you. The only way is through your word. So the other apple is not only the apple of his eye, but knowing that we're his son and we have a place to go for shelter and safety and trust. And we know he's going to get us where we're going to go. Let's look at the next apple, Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs 7, we'll start in verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Wow. We're supposed to look at this Bible like it's the best thing in the world. We're supposed to, when we read the Bible and read the words of the Word of God, we're supposed to say, this is the greatest thing ever. We're supposed to cherish this, the apple of mine eye. This is supposed to be above anything in our life, anything. Anything, any relatives, any job, money, anything. Fame, fortune, anything. This word, we're supposed to look at this and cherish it. I heard a pastor, a speaker came to our church once and he said, this is the Word of God. He said, I set it on my table at home when I'm done reading it. I don't even set anything on it. I don't use it for a coaster. I don't use it to prop up my other books on the shelf. When I kick up my feet on the coffee table, I don't put my feet on the Word of God. He'd put his notebooks underneath when he'd set them on the table. Because nothing else is worthy of this book. Nothing else. We're supposed to look at this. This is the apple of my eye. This is supposed to cherish this. And we look at cherish it like a person you're closest to. When we were in Romania on that couriers trip last year, and these people would come to the meeting and they'd hear the preaching and hear the singing and people got saved, but then you'd be out at the Bible table afterwards, and they'd come out to you and not really think that they were going to get a Bible because they've been lied to so much in the past, but they'd come out and see hundreds of Bibles just stacked on the tables. And some of these people, 70, 80, 90 years old, never had a Bible in their life. And you'd hand them that Bible, they'd take it and hug it and just walk away with it. And I have 5 or 6 at home. 4 of them sitting on the shelf, not even being used. Man, we're spoiled. How often do we read the Bible in the morning and just say, this is my time with God? How many times do we take the Bible and say, these words are holy, they're pure, they're perfect, and let that sink in when we read it? Or do we say, okay, no depths, how many verses in it? Oh, they're okay, there's 36, but is there anything else? Okay, off to work. Here we go. Ready for the day. Yeah. He just crawled out from underneath his wing. This is a holy book. There's 300 of these books out there, and this is the holy one. This one's holy. This one's pure. This one's right. Everything else is trash. You can put your cans of pop on those. You can use those to prop up the uneven furniture. That's just fine. This book, you treat it holy. It's pure. It's right. It's the Word of God. As a church, the goal of this church ought to be and is the truth. We have a very rare church here that teaches the Bible for what it says. that teaches the truth. And sometimes we honestly take it for granted. There's not a lot of churches like this anymore. And the pastor gets up here and just bares his heart trying to get you the truth. He wants you to know the truth, no matter what. As long as you know what this Bible says and what it means, and make it your life. Make it everything that's in your heart. As far as this nation, in this country, this is the only hope for this country. It is. This book, what it says in this book, is the only hope for this country. It's a reference book on how to run a country. It's a reference book on finances, relationships with individuals in other countries, and who needs to run things. If it doesn't line up with God, it doesn't line up, period. If you're not for us, you're against God. That should be our country's motto. If you're not with us, you're against God. You're going to have to answer to Him. Not to us, not to the U.S. We're not going to bomb you if you don't follow us. No, you're going to have to deal with God. Wouldn't that be something? Somebody tries to invade us and all their ships sink off the coast. That'd be great. Praise the Lord. We'd just be sitting there singing hymns and reading our Bible. That'd be so awesome. That'd be great. Blessed is the country whose God is the Lord. Then the last thing, this one's kind of interesting. This is maybe just my thoughts on this one, but let's go to Proverbs, just a page over, well, right there, Proverbs chapter 6. Starting in verse 27, you're going to wonder where this is going, but can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold and shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul, and wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32:10. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. This is Israel. He led them about. He instructed them. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Interesting. Well, let's go over to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2. Lamentations 2. Only got a couple more references to go here. Lamentations 2. Actually, starting 17. The Lord hath done that which he had devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart, Israel, cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river night and day. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Okay, and then Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, we'll start in verse 7. No, I'm sorry, we'll just go to verse 8. I have heard the reproach of... Oh, wait, have I got the right one here? Yep. Oh, I'm in Zephaniah. good job, Todd. That gives it a whole new meaning. All right. Okay, Zechariah 2, let's start 7. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory he hath sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. That's not a good thing. I call this applies to the individual, the church, and the nations. The nation. Everybody. This is a warning from a jealous man. You don't mess with his people. Just like a man who comes home, well, I'm not going to say that, but a man who commits adultery, that man is not going to show any restraint when he comes back. He finds out there's no restraint there. He says, let me at him. Let me at him. I'm going to tear him to shreds. I'm just going to annihilate this guy. And think about a person or a church or a religion or a country that turns their back on Israel. Think about the countries and the nations right now that are pushing for a Palestinian state against God's people. Think of all what the Arabs have to face with all the missiles they've launched into Israel. All the countries that surround, it just cracks me up, all these huge countries surrounding this little speck and they can't do a thing about it. But he's going to come back, the jealous man. And he's not a happy camper. He's not happy at all. He's a jealous man. Whatever Israel does, we need to be for it. Whatever they do. The only advice to give them would be anything that may be from the Word of God. But they're God's people. We're supposed to back them up. We're supposed to support them. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. God said it. And he said, in this verse, I read it, and he says, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. That's not a good thing. You're messing with my people. You need to get your hands off my people. Either get behind them or get away. But anybody who messes with them, he's going to come back. And he's not happy. So if you're not backing Israel, beware, because the jealous man's coming home. Soon, he's going to take us out of here. Then we get to jump on his back, and he's going to take us home. Take us where we need to go. But boy, I tell you, I pity anybody who messes with the apple of God's eye. They're going to be hurting. They're going to be hurting. So we got the apple that the apple of gold. We have an apple that we're the apple of his eye, and we can get under his wings. We can go to him for shelter. We got the apple in the Word of God that we need to cherish. This needs to be the apple of our eye. We need to cherish this book. And then we need to cherish and we need to respect God's people, Israel, and back them up. I don't know how all that fit in there, but they're the apple of his eye. You don't mess with them. It's an apple from the Word of God. So let's just think about these apples. How do you like them apples? Right? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for the Word of God and how precious it is. Lord, it's just a blessing to read it, share. I pray that some of it made sense. Lord, I just pray now that you'd be with us and help us these last few days that we're here on this earth before you come back to think of, to trust you to give us the words to say, to trust your word and read it, as it is a holy book and pure book. And Lord, I just pray now that you be with us tonight. Help us to think about what's been said and what your word says. Bless the rest of our time together in your name. Amen. All right, let's take a hymn book. It'll be to 431. 431.
Brian, you close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you.